It's time to get sexy, so watch Secular Sexuality live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/ytss and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callsex.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to another episode of Talk Heathen. Today is Sunday, August 7th, 2022, and I am your host, Secular Rarity. And joining me today is the hottest man in the coldest place. It's Nate Smith from Secular Sexuality. How are you, brother?
I am fantastic, SR. And I am so excited to be back on the show that inspired me to activism some 2.5 years ago.
That's awesome, man. And I think you were on Nonprofits with me like the first time I was ever doing a panel over there. So it is just good to be back hanging out. Even if we're far away physically, we're very close spiritually, you know? We're it's almost like our souls are intertwined through crystals or familiars or whatever the
I don't know. What is one.
That's what it is. That's Absolutely. What it is. I'm sure that there is no medical science that we're getting wrong there whatsoever.
Absolutely not.
But just so everybody knows, Talk Heathen is a live call-in show, and we have open lines, folks. So get your calls in at 512-991-9242, or you can give us a call from your computer at tiny.cc/callth. We are super duper excited to have some good calls. Nate and I are always looking for the big questions in life to be answered, like, you know, is there an afterlife? Is there a God? Are cats just jerks? You know, these things keep us up at night. So if you have answers to any of those questions, just go ahead and call us and talk to us. Nate, let me get some of these announcements out of the way, and we'll get right into just hanging out and taking some of these cool calls we've already got lined up. But all right. Talk Heathen is a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, a 501c3 organization dedicated to the promotion of positive atheist culture and the separation of religion and government. And there are a lot of really simple ways you can help out Talk Heathen in the ACA. You can support us on Patreon. Just go to tiny.cc/patreonth. Just remember to like this video and subscribe to the channel, hit the bell, enable the notifications, and comment below on your favorite caller, your least favorite caller. Tell Nate, I don't know, to get some homework and do some things, yell at me and say, why is your hair so long? We'll accept all of those comments, to be honest. But you can also become a channel member. Just click the join button below the video. You'll get some super sweet chat emotes, and you will help perpetuate the mission of Talk Heathen and the Atheist Community of Austin. You can spam the chat with Kenneth's face, and who wouldn't want to do that, you know? And then finally, just below the live chat right now, we have a fundraiser. 100% of those proceeds go directly to the ACA, and YouTube does not charge any fees. And that is a super, super great way to support. And, you know, anybody out there watching can just be like, hey, why isn't Nate Smith on Talk Heathen more? We love that guy. Or hey, get Secular Rarity off. Like, those are both acceptable things. So feel free to tell us your thoughts. Nate, what have you been? You were telling me earlier before the show started, you got a book recently, and you were going through some of it. What is that book? Is it something that like is interesting or valuable for us? How does this relate?
Oh, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it.
What you got?
And I'm sure our audience is familiar.
Yeah, the Epic of Gilgamesh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got this in the mail a few days ago. I'm only a few pages in so far, but what I thought I might do is I would read through it, and every time I came across something that the Bible cribbed from, I was going to highlight it and see what I came up with.
So what, give me like the bullet points of this story. Like what, like I'm sort of familiar, but not really. It's some guy goes on a journey or something. What happens yes. here in this?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So, it's the story of a man uh-huh. who's also a god, but more a man. Okay. And he's a deeply flawed character, unlike the last fairy tale character that I read about. But it's actually super fascinating. I've really been enjoying it. And it does actually predate the Bible by a long time. So that's pretty cool.
Wait a second. Hang on, Nate. Are you saying that there are stories out there before the stories of the Bible? I don't think so. Are you sure? Have we done like archaeological digs, or do we have like textual critics or historians or something that have spent their whole lives telling us this?
We absolutely do. Thanks to the work of a couple of English gentlemen, this poem was recovered relatively recently, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So we don't actually have a complete copy of the Epic of Gilgamesh. We only have fractions of it. The most complete version that we have comes from the collection of the last Assyrian king.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that I think it was the 7th century BCE.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It had to have been a long time ago.
But we have fragments going back as far as 2000 BCE.
Okay.
So, you know, just like the Gospels, you know, since we have bits and pieces from old-timey times, it must be true.
That's kind of what I was thinking, is this feels to me like it's older than some of the things in the Bible. And so therefore, that alone gives this story more credence, and therefore it must be an accurate telling of history, right? That's how it works, I'm pretty sure. I'm not a historian.
In certain circles, yeah.
Okay, well, so go ahead.
Oh, I was going to do that. I'm not sure how complete it's going to be, because in order for it to be complete, I would have to go back and read the Bible again. And kind of already did that twice, and it's not a
big fan of the whole so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. Yeah. Like, it's kind of interesting. Like, I guess it's cool to know about somebody's like great, 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 great grandfather or something. But I don't know exactly how much value that has to me.
I mean, other than the question of whether cats are jerks, you know, how many generations separate Abraham from Noah? That shit keeps me up at night, man. I can't sleep. It's tossing and turning all night.
The two questions are equal in your brain. Right. You're going back.
Right. I can't sleep at night, man.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I am hoping we'll get at least an answer to one of those today. But if not, that's okay, because we do have some other cool calls. Awesome. Let's start out learning something. Like, we're always down to learn some things here. Let's talk with our friend Patrick in Florida, he, him pronouns, and you're calling to tell us about the distinction between panpsychism and panprotopsychism. Is that right?
That's what I've been thinking about this. My faith is kind of adaptive, obviously, you know, because I feel like I was originally more of a pantheist originally, but I think it's a little different when you're saying you're a pantheist versus a panpsychist versus a panprotopsychist. And where like a panpsychist would believe that consciousness was fundamental, I guess, in all things, but like a panprotopsychist would feel that proto-consciousness is fundamental to all things.
Okay.
So it's not quite the same, but I'm not sure if even I understand it exactly, but I think I'm more like a pan-proto-psychist, if you all know about this at all.
So, I mean, just from the, and I appreciate, Patrick, you kind of given us just a little bit of a distinction between the two, because I was going to ask for all the viewers and myself. This isn't something that I've played around with a whole bunch, but one of the first things that does come to my mind, I guess, is what is your understanding of the difference between like consciousness and proto-consciousness? How do those actually relate to each other? Are they two separate things? Are they just different rungs on the same ladder? Like, because I think that would be something huge that we would have to figure out, like, what the heck is proto-consciousness in your understanding. And then, you know, once we have an understanding of what that is, then we can like look at everything else in the world and say, ah, yes, this pin has it, this rock has it, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I think like for me personally, like panpsychism or panprotopsychism wouldn't be saying like a rock is conscious or something like that. It just, I think everything would have like the potential for consciousness that's a living thing, you know, like.
So you don't make a distinction between, hang on real quick. So it sounds like you're saying that, like, it's not that everything in the universe has consciousness or is part of that gigantic interconnected web of consciousness, but just living things are?
I mean, I think you have a potential for consciousness there, but, you know, I would think that, like, this is my take on it. Like, I like what Tesla said on this. He said, my brain is only a receiver in the universe. There is a core from which we obtain knowledge, strength, and inspiration. I have not penetrated into the secrets of this core, but I know that it exists. That's a faith. So he had a faith there. And I think that's kind of along the lines of, you know, this kind of pantheism or panpsychism or panprotopsychism. I think that would be more along the lines of panprotopsychism, what he spoke of there. My brain is only. And then you look into it further, like OR theory by Roger Penrose is a good theory on consciousness, I believe, personally. I've just read, you know, I just know from a layman's standpoint, sure. I don't know the math involved and all that, of course.
I don't know if any of that really rises to the level of theory. It sounds more like hypothesis to me.
Yeah, yeah. It, like we've observed some things and we... Hang on just a second, Patrick. Like, we've observed some things and some of it's a little fuzzy still and we're not totally sure and we're kind of making these predictions about what we're going to see next if we do X, right? And that's kind of where it sounds like it is to me. And, well, hang on just a second, Patrick. Hang on just a second. I promise I will let you talk. But the issue still for me, I think, is kind of where I was getting at from the beginning, is that there does seem to be a problem when we try to put, you know, a nice, neat little circle around consciousness and proto-consciousness as well. Both of these things still seem to have so much fuzz to them in the sense of our understanding that it's hard for me to say that we can just extrapolate that to all living things in such a degree. I think from what I understand, again, at least, and believe me, I'm no expert in this, but there does seem to be this kind
of faking it real good.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah. I'll get yelled at by all my friends afterwards. But like there's this kind of like ladder thing where it's like at the very beginning rung of the ladder. It's clear that this thing has more of an understanding of its surroundings than, say, the rock or the sand on the beach. But it doesn't rise to the same level that we see in dogs or dolphins or no. Horses or people, right? But I don't know that that's anything. I mean, it is fantastic, but it also sounds to me kind of just like what life does. Like, right. Especially if we think about it, I heard somebody was talking about how kind of the beginnings of consciousness could just be the basic nervous system and emotions that we get from sensing the world around us, right? And that seems pretty sensible to me. But I don't know that that rises to the level of anything more fantastic, right? Like, I guess, okay, sure, centipedes have some level of consciousness, but I would expect that for life, you know? And so I don't know that we're really gaining anything by saying that we accept this, you know, panpsychism or panprotopsychism. And hopefully I didn't ramble too much there, Patrick. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I appreciate your input, and I think you know you guys look at things pretty objectively. I think, you know, I just back against organized religion, that kind of thing, but I just wanted to say real quick there about OR theory. Of course, it's theoretical. I'm not saying it's a fact, but it's legitimate science and Roger Penrose is well respected in the scientific community. But what it deduces, I don't know that Roger Penrose would agree with me on what it actually deduces, but it says that like the single cell paramecium, for example, they're saying it exhibits consciousness without a brain or nervous system at all. So that seems like that would squash the emergent consciousness hypothesis right there, because how can you justify that if a single cell with no brain or nervous system is an
consciousness?
Yeah, hang on a second.
This is kind of what you were saying, SR, is that, you know, response to stimuli doesn't necessarily mean that that thing is conscious. Like, I would expect a bacteria to, you know, move to a warmer place or, you know, a brighter place if they need that for some sort of energy, right? That doesn't necessarily mean that it's making the choice.
Right.
They seek out food, they mate, they reproduce.
Right.
I think they could even swim through mazes and stuff. I'm not positive about that. You may want to check me on that one. But
even still, though,
they definitely show signs of consciousness, I would say.
Well, hang on. So Patrick. Hang on, Patrick. How this, because I think this is important, is, you know, exactly what Nate said there really succinctly, is that just because we see something responding to outside stimuli, that doesn't mean that it is conscious, right? And that's kind of where the hard distinction comes in. So hang on. So the question would be, how can we determine between just simply responding to outside stimuli and a self-aware thing that, like, goes through the process of saying, like, oh my gosh, it's hot here, let me move so that I'm not as hot, right? So I think when we're on that second end of that spectrum, it's like, okay, that seems to be where we feel comfortable saying something is conscious, right? A human being eats something and goes, oh my gosh, that's spicy, you know, and then they drink some water, right? But how would we really tell the difference between that level of thinking about the thing that we're doing and the stimulus that we're receiving and just something responding to stimuli, right? Like, I drop a ball on a little, you know, little seesaw thing, and then the thing on the other side flies off. Well, it responds to the stimuli, but does that mean that that little rock on the other side is conscious?
It'd be like an action-reaction kind of response.
Sure.
But I'm talking about something that's actually proactively, you know, seeking out food and mate and mate.
So how do you know that it's proactively doing that as opposed to just responding to the environment around it?
It's like,
right?
You think it's just like, if it's an autonomous, that would be the other argument. I guess it's an autonomous kind of thing, and it's just like a reaction automatically. Well, sure. Then it seemed like somebody would have to be controlling it at that point. Then who would be controlling the organism?
Maybe.
That's unusual to me.
It could just be like a lock and a key. Hang on, Patrick. It could just be like a physical thing, right? So, like, with a key, the reason that a key turns a lock is because there's an actual physical structure that has to be met, right? The tumblers all show up in different places, and sometimes they're a little lower, or sometimes they're a little higher. And it's just that the actual physical shape of the key inserting into the lock clicks all those buttons, and then it turns because of it. Like, what if it's just a thing? Like, for instance, high pressure air systems will just naturally move to lower pressure air systems because that's just what happens with physics. Like, there's a lot of atoms moving around at a high pace, and then they just fill the space that doesn't have as many atoms and isn't moving as fast. What if it's shit like that? You know,
like, what I'd like to ask, Patrick. So even if we do grant you that a paramecium is conscious, right? And just for the sake of argument, how do you then make the leap to all consciousnesses being somehow interconnected in the universe? Like, that's
a good question.
That doesn't really matter to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm not connected to secular rarity via telepathy.
Right.
Or am I?
Ooh, what number am I thinking?
Well, for me, it would come back to that Orko R theory, because I was getting to that, but it's not real simple either. The science is, it's hard to understand even just reading a layman's paper on it. But sure. At the same time, you know, It deduces what it said in one article I read. Well, actually, it was the actual body of the theory itself. And they've gained empirical evidence. They've measured quantum displacements in the microtubules of the cell walls of the paramecium and the cell walls of our human brains. And the displacements, you know, they're showing that our consciousness seems to interact with the space-time geometry of the universe itself. Now,
hang
on. Hold up there.
Can I get
hold
some ranch there. Dressing for that, yeah, Sal, yeah, yeah, please? Yeah.
Hold up, Patrick. Hold up. So are you saying, hang on, Patrick, we're having a conversation. We go back and forth. We wait a little bit. We go.
Yeah, we need to clarify that a little bit.
When you're saying our consciousness interacts with like space time, what are you meaning by that? Like, is this like the whole quantum mechanics observer experiment thing, or is that kind of where you're going? Like, are you saying we manifest our reality through thoughts type stuff?
Give us an example.
You know, yeah. I don't know about that. I'm not saying that. I think there's something deeper going on that you may say, well, he's just saying another God of the gaps argument, but that could also be, if you're saying it like that, like everything that's unknown is just God of the gaps, you know, to me, that's like saying the same thing as everything is atheism of the gaps. If there's a gap there, that's no.
Yeah. Patrick, hang on. I've got this. I see the confusion that you're having, because it's actually the same confusion that I had for a really long time. And so the difference is that the God of the gaps is actually attempting to explain the gap, right? So the whole point of that fallacy, that when we point that out and we say to, hang on, Patrick, I'm not done. I was literally in the middle of a sentence. No break, no breath, no nothing. That's okay. It happens. But so what people are saying when somebody says, hey, this is a God of the gaps issue here, this is a problem with your logical reasoning here, what they're claiming is that somebody says, we don't know something, but here's the answer of the thing that we don't know. And almost always it's God. On the reverse side of it, it's not that atheists, well, I'm sure there's some atheists that says this, but I have never really heard anybody make the claim, hey, we don't know this thing about consciousness, therefore it's definitely not a God, can't be, no way whatsoever. Because then I guess, yeah, that would be atheism of the gaps, but that's not really what atheism is. It's just simply someone says, hey, do you believe in a God? And then somebody's like, oh no, I don't. I don't accept that claim because I don't have any sufficient evidence, right? There are other people that take it further on things, but that's just the base level of it. So it's not that it's atheism of the gaps or science of the gaps or anything like that. It's just the most reasonable conclusion to say, if we don't know this thing right now, we're probably going to find it out through the scientific method as opposed to anything else, because that's the thing that's been the most reliable. And then those of us that are atheists would also say, like, hey, it's probably not going to be God because it's never been God.
Yeah, you know? It hasn't been God yet.
Right.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten that conclusion yet.
It's batting zero so far.
Right. It's I mean, he could hit the home run, you know, he could Babe Ruth point it out and whatever, but it's unlikely is kind of how we come to it. But I guess for me, what I always wonder about, like, panpsychism and I guess panprotopsychism now too, is just what does this do for you? Like, what is the value of thinking that all of the things that are conscious are connected in some web? Does it do you make decisions differently about, like, animals or people, or like, because if really at the end of the day you're just saying, I think everything is, yeah, go ahead.
Humans need to sort it out for themselves. We need to solve our own morality issues and all of that. I don't think it doesn't say anything to any of that. I don't think panpsychism or panprotopsychism. I mean, me personally, I wouldn't have anything to say about it, because I would say, read On Liberty by John Stuart Mill, and essentially the nutshell is, don't do whatever you will, just don't infringe on anyone else's liberties and freedoms in the process of what you're doing. And you probably,
I'm sure that's in the Satanic Bible as well.
I was gonna say, it sounded very Satanic temple to me, which they have some great tenets for sure.
Yeah, way better than the Ten Commandments.
That's Well, that was out long before that was written.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that stealing is the right way. Yeah, more of co-opted you know, did the same thing that we do with all stuff where we grab little bits. That was why I wanted Nate to talk about the Epic of Gilgamesh earlier, is because there are a lot of bits from that really ancient story that are used in a bunch of holy texts, right? And I think we see that. We see a similarity through a lot of things. In our reality, in our world around us, right? We see a brick house, and then we see, you know, a beaver dam, and we go, gosh, there are some things that are so similar about those. But there is that question of whether or not this thing was created by a conscious agent, which is kind of, you know, getting us back to the whole whether or not consciousness is this, you know, super broad thing that exists in reality. I think at the end of the day, of the beliefs out there in the world that are motivating people and are, in my opinion, maybe not super well founded, this is one that doesn't seem to me like it's particularly problematic in a lot of different ways. I very rarely have heard a panpsychist talking about imposing their will on other people and getting everybody to you know, be or criminalizing people or passing laws in a government where they're not supposed to be doing stuff like that. You know, I haven't really heard that from the panpsychist. I guess for me, it's kind of just like one side of it is a claim that we really don't have any good evidence for. And the other side of it, you know, like everything is connected in this interweb of consciousness. And then the other side of it is something that doesn't seem particularly impressive to me. And I guess that's just me being kind of cynical. But like, yeah, the thought of like all living creatures having some ability to control like their, you know, reactions to things, that kind of seems, you know, understandable. I don't know that crickets are sitting around talking with each other and being like, man, can you believe that grass yesterday was so tasty? But at the same time, it makes sense to me that if you
about sentience, now you're talking about, I'm talking about consciousness. Sentience is like what you're talking about, I think. Is
sentience
like,
is the ability to feel stuff around you, right?
Like, I'm not saying a single cell paramecium would be sentient.
Are you saying when you're saying sentience, are you using it in the sense of being able to feel things around you, having senses?
Like, I mean, like really self-aware, like a being.
Yeah, that's consciousness.
Like a sentient being is something that's like self-aware. And like, I don't know that maybe a paramecium would be, but you, how could you can't ask it?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. So like that is one of the big problems. But again, sentience is just the ability to like feel stuff around you. It's not anything more than that. And it seems that we both accept that that's kind of like the base level of being able to have that perception, like the ability to have that like second order thinking and stuff. Again, I think at the end of the day that where we get to with this idea of consciousness being a more broad thing throughout the world around us is either something that is particularly mundane and not interesting. Again, I feel confident that crickets are thinking in some way. That seems reasonable to me that all living things are doing this. But at the same time, like, you know, it's on the other side, it's not particularly interesting to me. But
you know what? Can I say something real quick about it? Like, please. You said, why would I feel this way or believe this way? I think first off, it could be a plausible reality we exist in. It could just be the reality. We can't say for certain. But
sure.
Beyond that is like, you know how like when you hear a song and you feel the hair stand up on your arm and you're just rocking out or whatever kind of music you like, classical, whatever. When you feel that, you know, I think there's something going on there besides just, you know, it is all natural. It is all physical. But to me, like, for example, I was radio repair and electronics in the Army and stuff. And in class, we're talking about FM frequency modulation, and he called it fucking magic. And I think it is. It's natural, of course, but it's still fucking magic. We can explain it. We can explain different aspects of it, but we can't fully explain how it works.
Sure, but I, okay.
Works, we can't explain the meaning behind it.
So stick with me right there for just a second, Patrick. If we can't explain how It works. Whatever the fantastical, super duper cool thing is.
God. I'm not saying that's God of the gap.
Good, good. That's what I want to make sure you and I are on the same page on. Is that hang on just a second. If we are saying we don't know the answer, we can pose ideas. We can say it could be this thing, it could be this thing, but we actually have to go about investigating that in a manner that does help us cut down some of those options. And I think when we say that we are living in a world where this consciousness is connected in the way that panpsychists often like to connect it, I say that just takes us that extra step further of making that positive claim when we're still at the place where we don't know. Does that make sense? Do you feel like you're with me there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying I don't know, but yeah. I like this idea. Let's continue to investigate it with science.
Well, I'm with you there.
You know, if science proves some aspect of my faith wrong, then my faith would have to change, right?
Well, that's good. I would say that you're not using faith there. You're using evidence. My gosh, my mouth decided to stop working. But yeah, you're not using faith there. You're using evidence, which I think is the exact right way for us to go about these types of claims and these types of questions that we have, right? I think it would be awesome if it were possible for like telepathy and stuff. Man, that'd be super cool. I'd love to talk to like rats. I mean, they're supposedly like really, really friendly. A friend of mine has a pet rat, and so apparently they cuddle a lot. But I'd love to talk to like small rodents or just any other animal. It'd be really cool. I'm sure dolphins have a good sense of humor. Actually, I don't know. I'm just guessing that. Anyway, Patrick, let me wrap up with you, man, because I think we ended on a really good note where both of us are saying, look, on these things that are out there that are still a little funky and we still don't have a good answer to, we should keep investigating them, but we shouldn't get to that point of making the claim until we have good evidence. So I think you and I are on the same page with that, Patrick.
Oh, yes, certainly. Really, I appreciate it. I feel like this has been a good exchange here.
Yeah.
But I would like to say that some of these ideas I think are very plausible. They've got legitimate science behind some of the ideas. Mm-hmm. And I think we shouldn't at the same time just dismiss ideas like, oh, the universe conscious, that's just absurd. Why? Because we say it's absurd. It's just so absurd.
Sure.
You know, I think you... See, you said at one point where you said the atheist would say, I just don't see any evidence for that. But I would have gone more with the agnostic stance most of my life that would say, I don't know if we have any evidence. I don't know what evidence would be of God. You know, that would be my stance as an agnostic.
But real quick, Patrick, if you're saying that you don't know, aren't you also saying that you aren't taking the positive claim? Right? Aren't you also saying that you aren't like simultaneously when you say, I don't know, I don't have the answer to this particular question. And then somebody says, okay, but do you like, so somebody says, is God real? And you say, oh, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know. Yes. I don't know. No. And then they ask the next question, which is, do you believe in a God? If you don't know that a God is real, if you don't have knowledge of that, then you would be an atheist because you don't make the claim that you believe in a God, right? Doesn't that make sense?
No, I would say I don't know if I believe or disbelieve. I'm not sure if
they're two different questions. They're two different questions that you're asking. Patrick, hang on. Patrick, hang on. There are two different questions that you're asking and you're mixing them up needlessly. If the question is, do you think a God exists? Do you believe in a God, right? You can't say you don't know, right? Because then you're saying that you don't know your own thoughts. You're saying that if you believe or don't believe in a God, you don't have access to that somehow. And that really doesn't make a lot of sense, right? So it's different questions that are being asked than answers. So do you believe in unicorn? Like, do you think unicorns, this magical horse that poops out rainbows and has this horn on its head, do you think those things walk around the earth, right?
Not the earth, but maybe on some other planet out in...
Okay, so hang on. So you don't believe in unicorns. You would be an a unicornist, right? Now, here's the next question, which is, do unicorns exist, right? You don't believe, you don't hold the positive belief that they do. But the next question is, but do they actually exist in the real world? And we can be agnostic on that and say, hey, we don't actually know on that one, right? But we currently do not hold the belief that unicorns are real. And that's the distinction between atheist and agnostic. I think that's one of the best ways to kind of break it down. It's that it's two different questions that are being answered. And you can answer either of those questions however the heck you want.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I just feel like the agnostic, undecided agnostic, not agnostic atheist or agnostic theist, just the agnostic, the 100% undecided agnostic, that's really the most logical choice. But I like to have an opinion, so I like this pan-proto-psychism, and it hasn't been falsified yet, so I leave it to science to falsify the claim. If they can't do it, perhaps it'll be evidence.
I would rethink about asking others to prove you wrong. My suggestion is always, when you accept a claim, the reason you should accept that is because that claim has a positive indication that exclusively corresponds to that claim, right? So change the way that you're thinking about the burden of proof, in my opinion, because where you're at right now seems to me that you're setting yourself up to believe stuff that you don't have good reason to believe, right? If you're just waiting for somebody, if you're just, hang on, Patrick. Patrick, I am in the middle of talking. I have done this three times with you. I know you hear me. I know you do. But we're going to end it in just a moment. But what I'm going to say is, my suggestion is, when you are accepting claims, don't be in the boat of saying this is true until other people can show me that it's not. You should only accept a claim when there is sufficient evidence to accept that claim. Okay. I'm going to bring you back on for just a second. And we've been talking a whole bunch, so I'm going to let you go, but I'll let you say just a couple more words before we kick you out.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you. I'm sorry. I get a little hard to deal with, and I appreciate your patience. And y'all have a good one, and thank you for having me on.
No worries, Patrick. We appreciate you, man. And sorry I got a little heated myself. I know going back and forth can be just a little bit of a pain sometimes, but that's okay. Before we grab another call, let me just tell some people about some wonderful things. So there are a lot of ways that you can support the ACA. If you shop on Amazon, you can support the ACA at no additional cost to you. Just simply go to tiny.cc/AmazonSmileACA and designate the Atheist Community of Austin as your selected charity, and Amazon will donate a portion of their profit directly to the ACA. The Talk Heathen merch store is back, by the way. So visit tiny.cc/merchACA and you can get your favorite items like t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, beanies, tote bags, cell phone cases, all kinds of cool stuff. And there is even a special limited edition item each month that will be featured. So make sure to go check out that store and all the stores of the other shows as well. And then we've also got a channel that houses all of the ACA shows in audio podcast form. Just visit tiny.cc/AEN podcasts. If you just want to hear the shows and you don't want to see our beautiful faces, don't worry. We won't take a personal offense to that. That being said, if you do want to keep the heathenly talk going and you want to hang out with us, you can do so at the Talk Heathen community in the Fan Run Facebook page at tiny.cc/FBTHG. So there are a bunch of wonderful, wonderful people that hang out there and a bunch of wonderful, wonderful fans who keep that going for us. So thank you to all the people that are doing that and moderating the Fan Run Facebook pages and stuff. But you know, sometimes we get busy, folks, and sometimes we just don't have enough time. And that's okay. We're not gonna be upset with you if you didn't get to hang out at all the other awesome shows that the ACA hosts every week, like, you know, the Nonprofits or Secular Sexuality, Truth Wanted, or the Atheist Experience. But if you didn't catch those shows last week, here's a little bit of what you missed.
Would you go to your mother and say, hey, mum, do you have a penis in your panties? Because if the answer is no, then why would you ask somebody that you want to date that question?
Nicely in my bedroom, but it doesn't mean that I think they're going to do anything special for me.
I'm not going to be able to recharge my crystal in the moonlight and then put it in my water and expect, like, something to happen.
Richard, I think you've been watching the Pope lately.
I have indeed been watching the Pope. I'm like, God, I sneak under his bed covers every night and just have a quick peek.
Please like and subscribe to the channel. Oh, it means so much to us if you do, and comment as well. Start a fight in the comments. I don't know, make something controversial. Say pineapple is good on pizza, and I'll back you up on that.
I mean, they're gonna end up being queer people everywhere. We're making more every single day, and so it's inevitable that not everybody can run away from the thing that they want to run away from.
Right, and we are back. And before we go any further, there is a super duper special announcement that I am very excited to let everybody know. It has been a long 2 years or so since we have been able to congregate together at the Atheist Community of Austin. But based on the updates from the CDC and other scientific organizations, we are going to be able to ease back into doing live shows and some events as well. And the one I'm telling you about today is the next event that is happening August 27th of 2022. It is the Bat Cruise, y'all. The Bat Cruise is back. A boat has been chartered. The bats are roosting under the Congress Avenue Bridge. And the ACA is looking forward to a wonderful BYOB and BYOF. That stands for food. So a wonderful evening with the ACA community of friends. And the details on purchasing those tickets will be shared soon. But now you have the date for your summer scheduling. So go ahead and get that on your calendar and be watching all the places and watching all the shows. And just be ready when those tickets are released. By the way, the next day, August 28th, the ACA will continue doing live shows from the Free Thought Library. Both Talk Heathen and the Atheist Experience will be broadcast at their normal times, 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central, respectively. But now you can come hang out and be a part of the studio audience, guys. You get to go and you get to sit there and watch it live, and everybody gets to see you, and you might get a question taken. It seems so super cool the last time I saw it. So if you guys are in the area, definitely get the whole family into the station wagon, schlep on over to Austin, Texas, and just hang out and meet and greet with your fellow non-believers, show hosts, and the people who make the magic possible, the amazing, amazing crew, because you will get to see them working their butts off, which you guys don't always get to see. So the doors will be open to the library at 12 noon to the public. So we really hope to see you guys there. And if you can't make it in August, that's okay, because we will continue to be broadcasting from the library the last Sunday of each month. So just make sure to be watching the show and check out the website, atheist-community.org, for all the news and information as we expand the in-studio offerings in the near future. So definitely, guys, I am hoping to be able to make the journey out myself out there. It is like the closest thing, I guess, we atheists have to a Mecca. So we might as well make sure we do our non-godly thing and travel once in our lifetime. I don't think that it's okay to walk around clockwise multiple times. We will find that information out for sure from the crew, and I will let you know. But anyway, let's grab another call, because we've got some that are piling up here. Let's see here. It looks like we've got Zeno, he, him in South Korea. And you want to talk about the ontological argument for God is what it sounds like. So, hey, how's it going, Zeno?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. You're hanging out with myself and Jason. What you got for us today?
So ontology is something most scientists agree with. Can I ask you a question? Do you guys follow ontology?
Okay, so it sounds like we must be using these words differently, because I would never use this. I would never say the sentence, do you follow ontology? I would also never say the sentence that scientists agree with ontology. That doesn't seem to make a lot. Just stop. Hang on. Zeno, I know you were on hold the whole time. I know you heard me and Patrick talk. I know you know how this works. I know you know how this back and forth goes, okay? So I'm going to unmute you, and we're going to do that
with me asking the question, what do you mean by the word ontology? Okay, so we'll start there and then we won't interrupt each other because we're going to be super nice to each other and not rude. So what do you mean by ontology? Because it sounds like you might have a different understanding than I do.
Okay, just to let you know, there's a little delay.
Oh, I know there is.
We understand that.
Yeah, that's so when it sounds like you're finished, I start talking and it sounds like I'm talking over you.
But that's okay.
So to continue, you would not use the phrase, do you follow ontology? You're already demonstrating.
I just need you to answer the question. I just need you to answer the question, Zena. Okay. We're gonna start this all over again. Okay. We're gonna start this all over again. Hey everybody, it's August 7th, 2022. Talk Heathen. Awesome. So super excited. We got Zeno here. He's calling in about ontology and God. So Zeno, what do you mean by the word ontology? Answer that for us first.
How come every time I try, I get interrupted?
Can you answer the question?
Yeah,
it's pretty simple.
If you could just answer the question that's posed before you so that we can all get on the same page, because that's right. The important thing is that we're all on the same page. We can have a nice discussion together.
What do you mean by the word ontology? Go. You got this. I believe in you.
So are you going to listen this time?
We're all ears. We really are.
I'm going to try something a bit different, Zeno, because I'm not sure that you're having, I'm not sure that you're tracking as much. Jason, what do you mean by the word chair? Let's try this. You and me, you said chair. What do you mean by chair? Give me just like some definition.
Oh, I see it as a device that I'm sitting on so that I can go ahead and do a show with you.
That's not bad.
It doesn't need to be a show. It could be, sitting down to dinner. True. It could be the chair in my office.
Yeah. Sometimes has wheels, just has straight legs.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think that's a perfect definition, Jason, but I think Absolutely it's not. Enough. No, I think it's enough for you and I to have a conversation about it, which is what I'd like to do. But before we do that, let's try again with Zeno. And Zeno, if you can't answer this question, I'm actually just going to put you back in the call queue and try somebody else, and maybe we'll sort it out as you're waiting. Zeno, what do you mean by ontology? Let's just start very simply, okay? You're on.
You guys aren't letting me fucking talk.
Okay.
I haven't even been.
We're letting you talk right now. You have the option to either complain. You either have the option to complain about us not letting you talk in the past, or you can answer. You can take this opportunity to just answer. Okay. I understand. It seems like we've been super, super mean to you, even though you haven't answered the question we've posed four times. So one more time. And if you say anything other than, okay, here's what I mean by ontology, we're just going to let you go. Okay. So pretty simple. Not trying to be combative here. It just seems like we're already off on a bad foot. So let's try to reverse that and get to a more amicable back and forth here. Zeno, you're on Talk Heathen. What do you mean by the word ontology?
Why are you so fucking long-winded?
Okay. Thanks, Zeno.
Man.
That's exactly, well,
I feel
we want to have a conversation. We really do.
Yeah.
And if we can't figure out what exactly you're talking about, you have a definition of ontology. Yeah. We may not necessarily agree with that. And so we want to get to the heart of the matter so that we're not talking past each other.
And when I know for myself, I can say this, and I think Jason's you're very similar on this. When you and I get kind of snarky, get kind of biting with our responses, it's generally because you've said things like, hey, can you make sure that you're on the right microphone? And then I go, oh yeah, I'm totally on the right microphone. And you're like, I know, but can you do this for me to check? And it's like, no, I've already done that. And it's like, did you though? Cause it sounds like your fucking microphone isn't right, bro. Can you check for me? And so, when I say to somebody, hey, what do you mean by this word that you've just currently used in a sentence that does not make sense to me? What do you mean by that? And then instead of just answering that, it almost sounds like you have this goal of, I don't know, winning or something, like trying to like be on top. And that doesn't matter to me. I don't care about that. Like, I've lost a million times this morning on a million other things. I don't give a shit, man. I just want to try and understand each other. And when I go do just a really simple definition, just a look here on the old Google's bots and what's not. Let's see here. Ontology is a branch of metaphysics dealing with the nature of being. So when somebody says the sentence, scientists follow ontology, that doesn't make sense. That definition that I just read does not seem to, yeah. So anyway.
And I would say that what is probably happening here is Zeno got us, you know, because we were too afraid to let him speak. And so he's going to go to whatever chat room or cesspool that he crawled out of and say, hey, look, they won't talk to me. Look at that. We won. Like, okay, cool story, bro.
I know. It's a shame that we still haven't, you know, even with all that fear in our hearts, Jason, you know, we still don't believe in a God. You know?
Yeah.
I know. No, it's weird. If only somebody could call in and answer simple questions and give us definitions so that we could have a conversation.
Absolutely. Hey, that would be fantastic.
Look, seriously, Zeno, if you're still seeing this, look, call in again, okay? Call in again. Let's have this conversation. But we have to make sure that we're answering each other's questions and that we're following along with each other, okay? So definitely, we want to have these conversations. We want to know what people think and why that they think it. But before we do that and go to another call, I have some people to thank. We have 5 patrons out there and an honorary mention for the 6th. The top 5 patrons, which, by the way, you can find very easily, folks. You can just go to tiny.cc/patreonth and you can be called out as well. But this week we have 1, Eric Tweet, 2, Dingleberry Jackson, 3, Balaam's Donkey, 4, Ayame, and 5, Devor Valjean. And then our honorable mention is Jill Navy. So thank you all so much, and everybody else that is out there supporting us on Patreon and any of the other ways that you do. And real quick, just because I'm already rambling, make sure, folks, that after this show, right now, it's going to end at some point. We know, unfortunately, the fun has to stop. But when it does end, the fun keeps going on the flagship show of the ACA, the nonprofits. That's right, 3 p.m. Central Time today. And you can find that at tiny.cc/YTNP. And the ACA wants you to know what is going on in our community. And for that, we've got an updated website. So it's very easy. Just go to www.atheist-community.org. And you can learn all about the organization itself, its policies, and how you can get involved. And then, of course, we always want to hear from you folks. Remember, you can always comment below, tell us in the live chat. But if you want to let us know what you liked, you want to tell us what you thought was effective, more importantly, you know, what we can do better, say, hey, that SR guy never really lets that Zeno guy talk. It simple. I know. And now you can yell at me by emailing TV@atheist-community.org, and you can let us know. You can tell me all your thoughts and feels about why I won't let people answer questions or whatever it is. Honestly, it doesn't bother. Let's grab another call here. What about going to my neck of the woods, going out to Tennessee? We've got Jason out there wants to talk about trans issues in the Bible, it sounds like. What are your thoughts on this, Jason? What are you feeling here?
Oh, hello.
Hi.
I'm sorry, I don't know you guys that well. I watch the show a lot, but yes, the trans issues are all of my religious friends, you know, the whole freedom from religion type thing has been a struggle. And transitioning is a struggle also. It takes time. It's not something you wake up with the next day. So I feel like all of my religious friends are, you know, uncomfortable with it.
Which I got to be honest, it's been a minute since I've really delved into the Bible and all of its many variants and prescriptions and so forth. But I don't ever really remember the Bible saying much about trans people. Like, I think there's something about a cross-dressers, right, yeah, and some covered, homosexuality. Yeah,
I don't know that trans people were really even the idea of it was, you know, around back in that day. That is a fairly new concept.
So it's newer in one sense. Hang on just a second, Jason caller. But I know I need a way to distinguish.
Yeah, to specify.
But I think what we have in older civilizations is a slightly different concept, right? Like two spirit, because we have good record of this for thousands of years. It's just the terminology I think that we use today is definitely newer. But yeah, it's even with all of that, like the Bible doesn't really talk about trans people. But because as the bigots are wont to do, they like to lump as many things as they possibly can that they can be hate filled about. And so if the Bible mentions cross-dressing, if the Bible mentions homosexuality, we'll take that opportunity to just say all queer people are terrible and our God hates them. But I'm sorry, I rambled. That was one criticism I got today, so I'll try to rein it in. But Jason, what are your thoughts?
What's that? One more time.
What are your thoughts? What are you thinking about this?
My thoughts are, it's just a struggle, and it's really hard to deal with until you, kind of deal with your own quote unquote demons, you know, just dealing with your own stuff and not having to call them demons, you know, just
right. Your own personal issues. We get that.
Yeah. Yeah. We know you're not talking about actual demons. Yeah.
Unless you are. And that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. That is true.
Like I'm really impressed on Katie Montgomery and people that can they've kind of reached a point where, you know, they have some validity, and I don't have that yet.
Mm. I definitely think that is something as a cishet white guy, you know, I'm very much on the outside of this, but I can tell you, I definitely see there are certain people in the trans community that are more accepted by the people on the outside for whatever reason. And there are other people that are not as accepted. I hear this a lot from some of my bisexual friends as well, too, who say that it's hard sometimes to be accepted because, let's say, they're in a heteronormative presenting relationship on the outside. But, you know, that doesn't change their sexuality just because, you know, a cis woman is dating a cis man at this time. It doesn't mean that they're not queer, right? It doesn't mean that they're not, just because somebody doesn't, you know, use the pronouns that you think they should if they're trans, or doesn't wear these clothes or support this thing or whatever. Like we really should just get to a place where we're more comfortable with people and the fact that everybody's a little bit different, and that's okay. And we should just stop being so gatekeepy about who is and is not, you know, a part of that community. If I'm in the boat, if somebody says to me, you know, hey, I'm bi, or hey, I'm queer, or hey, I'm trans, I'm just in the boat that I just accept the person, right? And I guess I understand for some people that can be difficult.
Either way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to express myself the way I feel comfortable with.
Right.
And you absolutely should be able, or you should be able to. I know that this world doesn't want us to. And, you know, it's amazing when you look at like Katie Montgomery, and if you didn't know that she was trans, if you just, you know, came up to her on the street or whatever, you would just say, hey, look, there's a woman, and you'll go about the rest of your day. But then when you add on to that aspect of, you know, absolutely. And there are lots of other trans people who, you know, they're able to get them to that point. Now, whether it's because of all the work, and I don't mean just the physical medical work that they put into it, but just that they were able to just make them they took on the lifestyle of their identity and all that. Yeah. is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And we should be,
it's really tough.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. I mean, it sounds like if you're in Tennessee, Jason, that's where I am, and I can definitely tell you I can see that. I know that it must be tough for you, because I know what it's like being somebody that, you know, just even tries to be an ally in this area. There is a lot of hatred. There is a lot of misunderstanding, and honestly, just a lack of wanting to understand, which I think is probably one of the most frustrating things for me. I get that for some people things are confusing or things are new. But at the same time, you know, an attempt to try and get it, an attempt to try and just at the very least not be a jerk to other people when there's something about them that's different to you, you know, like that alone apparently is
comes along yeah. with it is like really yes. hard to deal with.
Yes, yes, for sure. And I will say, I know this won't fix everything for you, Jason. I know it won't, but hopefully, you know, this at least helps a little bit. There are those really, really wonderful fan run groups that I was mentioning. And it's not just for Talk Heathen. There are a bunch of other, you know, things like that for the ACA that a bunch of really cool fans and volunteers just spend, you know, an insane amount of time working on every single day, every single week. And it's just a bunch of people that, you know, will get together and just have a space for each other. You know, we don't always have to argue about the big, absolutely. You know, $3 philosophical terms, and we don't have to, you know, yell at each other about your archaeological understanding of blah. We don't need all of that all the time. Sometimes it's just nice to have a space where it's like, man, today was tough because this bigot, you know, this, right? And then you vent, and then somebody else vents, and then you guys laugh about something silly. You know, like somebody, for instance, who perpetuated a hoax for like 3 years and now has to pay a bunch of money because we caught him lying in court. Just off the top of my head example. Nobody in particular. But anyway, I'm sorry, Jason. Go ahead, please.
I get you. I'm just sorry that it like it has to be that way. Like, I really wish people were more accepting and know that Rome wasn't built in a day, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, even there, you know, Rome being built in a day, you know, we're talking about some ingrained tribalism. Mm. And one of the things that communities like this and other worldwide communities are striving to do is to kind of tear down those barriers, tear down that tribalism that has poisoned us for so very long. And it's amazing, you know, the people that I've met here and the people that, you know, it's great that we have this community to break all that apart.
And people like
calling into you guys because y'all are awesome and y'all are understanding and you help me with, you know, the religious part of it. We weren't talking about a religion, but thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. And
you are absolutely welcome.
It's people like you, Jason, as well as, of course, some of the amazing, amazing people like Katie Montgomery and Student Dr. Ben and Arden. And there are so many wonderful people in this community that refuse to be steamrolled over. They refuse to let other people tell their story and define who they are. And when you stay active, when you keep calling us and telling us what your story is and what you've experienced, that makes it so much better. It makes the fight so much better because we actually get to know your perspective. And I think when there are a lot of people out there that are, because they are so entrenched in this ideology where they've never stepped outside of it, they never looked out and said, oh my gosh, these are just normal people. Getting to hear those everyday normal experiences, I think matters a lot because that's what helps us become more understanding and more diverse. So yeah, please just keep hanging out as much as you can and you feel comfortable and call us back and yell at us once or twice, you know, come in and, you know, tell us that we're wrong on the definition of, I don't know, something, I don't know, metaphysics. I don't tell.
Well, to anybody else.
Ontology.
Let's do this together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's
take my call.
Yeah, thank you. And we appreciate you hanging with us. And we'll let you go now. But again, please, you know, call back in and hang out with us. There are some other really, really great people here as well. I think that's one of the biggest things that I value about, you know, these spaces that the ACA has is it is about trying to reach out to some other people and just being like, hey, everybody else around you maybe think it a little bit differently. You know, I know, again, if our last caller is in Tennessee, same place I am, I can tell you it's it's tough, and that's for a cishet white guy. And if that's the case, I just can't imagine so many other people that are a part of this community. I can't imagine how tough it must be. So it's been, if I can use the term, Jason, if you won't cancel me, it's been a godsend.
Oh boy,
a miracle. I just,
well, SR, it's nice knowing you.
It was a good run. I had some fun.
Oh, darn.
What do you, before we go further, what do you, how do you feel about talking about some Jedi stuff? You want to talk about some Jedi stuff here, Jason? I don't know how much of a fan you are.
I mean, you know, I don't know.
Okay, so this is going to be contentious. It's going to be a bit, you're
a little contentious.
Okay. Well, that's all right. That's all right. We like that. Jason, him in Georgia, you have some interesting thoughts on the philosophy of Jediism. That's kind of interesting. Can you give us just a brief understanding for our callers? Like what is this? Is this a real thing? What's going on here?
Sure. Thank you guys for having me on the call. And I can answer one question. As a habitual cat owner, I can tell you all cats are assholes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. You've all heard it here. It is settled science now.
Coincidentally, we're actually going to be talking a little bit about cats on the flagship show. So you should definitely stay tuned for that one.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Well, Jediism is a concept that was born of fiction and turned into reality. It's something that a Jedi lives in their daily lives. There's no temples, no lightsabers, no robes. You know, I'm not lifting cars out of the mud with my mind. It's just...
I'd join if you were doing that, though. I'll tell you. If you were lifting things regularly out of the mud with your mind, I would sign up tomorrow. But
also, you're talking about no lightsabers? What do you call this?
Proof, folks. That's proof right there. I'm sorry. There we you cut go. You off. Keep going.
Sorry.
That's okay. So we're just people who live our lives in accordance with Jedi ideals and practices. I mean, sure, we understand that Star Wars is a fiction. It's a movie. It's not real. There's no denying that. But yet the authors and creators did draw inspiration from different real world sources to build that fictional Order of Mystical Knights. Sure. They did such a good job, in fact, that there really isn't a real world comparison. There's not a single path out there that is exactly like the Jedi Knights. So, you know, they borrow from Taoism, Christianity, Zen Buddhism, Stoicism, and many other ideologies that we can see that carry similarities. So as a Jedi, what we have done is taken the philosophical ideas that are good, level-headed ideas and taken those and put them into a philosophy of living so that one can live a life of compassion and of honor and chivalry and discipline and fulfilling one's obligations to the society around them and to their family and living a good human life.
Real quick, let me ask just to clarify for myself, but I mean, I'm sort of familiar, but not terribly. It sounds to me though like there isn't really a supernatural component. Like it's not like most Jedis, I would assume, are not going to be running around like actually believing in this magical force thing. And you know, you said you're not lifting cars with your mind and stuff. Would you say that most of the people that are following this ideology are not going to be believing in all the supernatural magic-y woo-woo stuff?
I can't say that with 100% certainty because I do know some Jedi who do believe that the Force is literally an energy that connects all of us.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily believe that they're going to be lifting stuff up with their mind, but they do believe that we are all part of this universal energy, similar to the Tao, our Chi, our Ki, and that energy surrounds us and penetrates us and connects us all. Me personally, when I think about the Force and I talk about what that is, to me, the Force is that untapped potential and power that each individual has to be an extraordinary individual and to do extraordinary things in the world when their mind is disciplined and they have awareness of themselves and clarity of mind, and they can do amazing things with that. But like a light, a lantern that's been covered with dust, we've been covered with ideas of standards of what you should be and how you should be and what defines success and what defines the kind of person that you should be. And what we seek to do is to bring out the force in us by clearing away all of that so that the pure light of the truth of who we are can shine out of us. And that's the force. It's the good. It's the potential that's stored within each and every individual to do good and to be an extraordinary person.
So I think for me, almost always when it comes to the problems that I have with religions or belief systems of any kind, is almost always focused on the supernatural woo-woo claims, right? Or just claims that aren't well-founded to begin with. When it comes to like the traditions or like the bite-sized nuggets of good ways to practice one's living and so forth, those I'm rarely as hardcore about, because I think a lot of there's a lot of belief systems out there that, you know, kind of have this general, you know, be a good person type feel to them, which is great, and I'm all for that. I support that. But when that is mixed with be a good person, and the correct way to do that is because of my fairy tale, like that's where I get, you know, problems. You know, I get really focused on those. It sounds to me like this is very much more a philosophical practice of how to, you know, how to live one's life and kind of how to navigate the problems in the world, and much less of the woo-woo stuff. Which,
kind of like taking on the tenets of Buddhism,
yeah,
but not actually believing in, you know, some of the woo aspects of you know, Buddhism. But we have actually seen where atheists will still believe in energies and still believe in things like that. You have deconverts who will still pray. Now they're not praying to a god; they're praying kind of internally to try to get themselves some clarity. So yeah, no, I can see where a lot of that comes into play. So, you know, I would say that if this works for you, if you know, continue to not be destructive, because we've definitely seen where too much of a good thing can absolutely be destructive. Like all of a sudden somebody comes up to you, say, "Hey, I'm a Sith." And it's like, "Oh, well now I need to get rid of that Sith." I really hope you're not that.
Now we've got to start a sword fight in the middle of this highway. Yeah, that might be problematic. I would have to say definitely if you're in a boat where you're not attempting to dismantle the separation between church and state in my country, let's say, then I'm probably more comfortable with your, you know, belief system and so forth. If you're saying, "Hey, I'm going to violate the Constitution and try to push my religion down people's throats by passing laws," then I'm not going to be a fan of that, whatever the fuck the religion is. But in general, I think there is value in us as people finding some type of rituals or traditions in the broadest of sense, to say like this kind of helps focus us, or this kind of, you know, gives us clarity or something. There's a couple of different, I mean, we can see this in a handful of different places, you know, one, for instance, just being, some of those, you know, big tech startups out West area, out in California stuff, where they start every day with everybody in the office getting together and, you know, say one nice thing that happened to you in the last 7 days or something, or, you know, and that just kind of gets everybody focused and gives everybody just kind of that good uplifting feeling that they're going to need. That's going to help propel them through their day. I'm always a fan of that stuff. Like I know some people that are non-religious and they say, "Oh, you shouldn't even advocate for meditation because it's on the line to woo woo." And well, I mean, I think we...
Why does it need to be? It's like...
Yeah, right.
Just sitting there and focusing your thoughts. And I don't mean like focusing your thoughts like, "I'm going to make this..." No, you just sit right there and like, okay, so what do I think about how this day is going to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And what would I like for my future? Like next week, where do I want to be? Where do I want to be in 2 years? You know? How did this thing affect me 3 days ago when I got in that car crash or whatever? Like, yeah, I think there is value in taking those moments of introspection. And it sounds like mostly that's kind of where this whole Jediism is is kind of focused. It's a lot more about introspection and how do you engage in a positive and encouraging manner to the rest of the world, which again, like I'm probably going to be on board with that stuff because it sounds like you're not on board with the Christian nationalists there, our wonderful Jason caller. So you are on my side. If you are not standing with those people, you are on my side. So, but
absolutely.
Yeah, give us some more thoughts.
We seek to the Jedi path really centers around five practices that we refer to as a Jedi circle. And I oftentimes meditate walking in a circle while reciting these practices. The five practices are meditation, awareness, diplomacy, physical fitness, and self-discipline. So it's really almost kind of like a Shaolin monk, kind of a physical and mental art of disciplining oneself. There's five of those practices. There's five tenets that it backs up, which is peace, knowledge, serenity, harmony, and the force. And then there's five traits that are backed up by that, which is patience, objectivity, reliability, humility, and wisdom. And that's what we really seek to reinforce. And to have that self-honesty and that learning and that guidance and that self-sacrifice, that chivalry that Obi-Wan and all the characters exhibit in the Star Wars trilogy, we want to be the real-life heroes that are willing to take and self-sacrifice to help those that are weak, with wisdom, knowing when the right time is to intervene and when it might not be the right time to intervene, but to know that we have the capability and the discipline to do so if we're called upon, if we're needed.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of that. There's a lot of those sentiments that you were just expressing that just follows hand in hand with a lot of stuff that you'll hear from secular humanists, you know? And maybe if I had heard about Jediism before I had heard about secular humanism, maybe I'd be right along there with you, Jason. I think again, there's, you know, we need to be more comfortable with reaching our arms out and connecting with people that, you know, share a lot of our values, but maybe just don't, you know, take the exact same label. I think there is value in that, especially when we do have so many religious organizations right now that are attacking all types of people and communities and ideas from all types of different directions. And it's just a real pain in the ass. And it'd be nice to have, I would take a whole world full of Jedis over the amount of Christian nationalists that we have right now. Like if somebody was like, it's got to be one of the two. You either have this group yelling and screaming or you got a bunch of Jedis. I'd be like, oh, give me the Jedis, folks. Give me the Jedis.
Well, and but, you know, yeah, something that's so true. And but, you know, one must also remember that there are, you know, we hear in the fiction stories about there being a light side of the Force and a dark side of the Force. And there is a light side and a dark side, even to Jedi, because
absolutely,
the ability and the power of the mind to do good can also be wielded to do evil. And then also in the same sense, a mind that is unwieldy, that's undisciplined, that's controlled by hatred and ignorance and greed can do so much destruction to the world around them. That really is the dark mm-hmm. side of the Force. For and sure. That's what we seek, is to understand that, you know, we may not be out here fighting dark Sith lords. I may not ever run into a Count Dooku with a red lightsaber. That would be
please,
cool, though.
Please call us back if you do.
Yeah, no, that would be great.
Yes.
But, you know, I think about it like this. Do you remember in one of the movies when Luke Skywalker goes to Yoda for training and Master Yoda tells him that he must face Darth Vader and he walks into this cave and he sees Darth Vader and he pulls out his lightsaber and he strikes at Darth Vader, busting open his helmet. And when he looks at it, he sees himself inside of that helmet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That tells me that the real battle with the dark side isn't with external forces. The dark side must be conquered within ourselves first. Then we can counter the evils, the Christian nationalism that wants to rule everybody, or whatever it is, whatever evil there is in the world. First, we must conquer the dark side in ourselves. Then we can conquer the dark side in the world around us.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think a lot of those sentiments, Jason's, are things that fall right in line with secular humanism, fall right in line with, mm-hmm. you know, a positive atheist culture and stuff. And yeah, again, I just heard about Jediism maybe a week earlier, I might be there with you. But
I would say that, I mean, for me personally, I feel these things are entertainment, they're movies, and they're designed to, well, I mean, let's be honest, sell toys. But that's not, if you get more out of it than that, I mean, more power to you. If you continue to live a good life, you decide that you don't want to, you know, like SR said, if you see Count Dooku, you're not going to, you know, battle him, you know, that this isn't something that is a call to action to fight the dark side, because then you'll have created a Sith in me. I'm sorry.
Well, on that, before y'all start really battling it out on screen, Jason, we're going to let you go, and we appreciate you hanging out with us, and you know, give us a call back and give us some updates or kind of, you know, what you and your other Jedis are doing in your community to make the world a better place. We always love to hear that. So, but Jason, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was gonna say, I didn't want to get it wrong. So I was going to say, it's the May the Force be with you, not the live long and prosper one. Yeah.
Yeah. Live long and prosper. That's more
the,
for me.
That's the Trekkie stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I think both of them have, you know, I think both of those, kind of universes has some good themes that run through it. And exactly what you were just saying at the end, like I am always okay if somebody looks at a piece of art, right, and they go, oh my gosh, this gives me so much more meaning, and you know, I want to try to live my life in a way that is modeled after the good things that this artwork is showing. Like it's a bunch of people helping each other out and stuff, and I'm gonna take that message into my daily life. I'm always comfortable with that, as long as people aren't, you know, saying that like the artwork is literally talking to them, you know, like it's that side of it. And it didn't really sound like that's where this Jediism is.
No.
It's not on that woo-woo side.
And I would say that, you know, you look at Jediism, you look at the Federation, and there you do have a little bit of toxic altruism.
Oh, sure.
You really do. There's a reason why the Federation just completely blows. Like, I love Star Trek, and there are some issues I have with the Federation. issues I have. That's why I would never consider myself a Jedi. I wouldn't consider myself a Sith either. I would be more like a gray Jedi, somewhere between the two, where I can shoot lightning bolts out my hands, but then say something philosophical afterwards to kind of, you know, balance things out.
That's pretty cool. Can you be a Wookiee? Is that possible in this, or just asking for a friend?
I mean, considering all the hair loss lately, no.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, if this were like 20 years ago, there would be a better opportunity for that. But unfortunately, that ship has set sail for me.
I will donate some of this just unruly mane one day. But before we go swapping hair, folks, let me give you the last little bit of announcements here. Again, guys, below the chat, there's a fundraiser. 100% of those proceeds go directly to the ACA. And that is a super, super easy and great way to help out this awesome community. Also, just remember to just like and subscribe. It's so simple. If you are hanging out with us and watching right now and you haven't done those, just do it already. It takes 5 seconds. And if you don't, Jason might cry, and we don't want to see that. So that being said, become a member. Just click the join button below the video and just spam those awesome, awesome chat emotes. Remember, you can support us on Patreon as well, tiny.cc/patreonth. There's also a channel that houses all of the ACA shows in audio podcast form, tiny.cc/AENpodcast. Guys, we make it easy for you, okay? And then, again, if you want to keep the fun going, there are places, and that is the Talk Heathen community in the fan-run Facebook page at tiny.cc/FBTHG. And of course, you can check out the awesome, awesome fan run Discord server at tiny.cc/ACD Discord. And then finally, and this will segue perfectly, because I was going to ask where people can find you, Jason. And I think they can find you sometimes hanging out at the flagship
ACA show, the nonprofits, absolutely, which airs, it airs, it's coming up. Is it, when is it? It's sometime.
Oh, it's coming up in less than 30 minutes. And, oh my gosh. If our audience here just wants to wait, you'll get redirected right to the flagship show. You just sit there. The show will come up. You know, it's the magic of YouTube. You don't have to like, oh, do I need to find this? Like, nope. We will redirect you right to the nonprofits. I'm not on this week, but I will be on next week.
I think you and I are hanging out next week.
We are.
Oh my gosh. We got some good stuff to talk about. And I know that they have some good stuff to talk about today, you guys. So again, if you don't want to move at all, you can just stay in your seat, stay on this channel, and you will get redirected. Otherwise, be there at 3 p.m. Central today. And you can find that at tiny.cc/YTNP. And before we go any further, Jason, you know we have to do this. We are contractually obligated to shout out the amazing and fantastic crew. Let's get those beautiful faces up there.
I was just in there.
You were back there for a minute.
I was. Things happened and now I'm here.
And that's okay. And we love that. And you know what else we love is love rings. And I think maybe we can, other direction. That's okay. We'll get
in sync yet.
We'll get that.
One day.
We got them. Look, we got the love rings. You guys feel the love. It's wrapped around you like a ring. We're doing it. And truly, truly thank you to all of the crew who are constantly working and all of the mods out there, by the way, hanging out in the chat and keeping it nice and flowing for everybody.
Right there.
Absolutely. There are so many people that work on this show and all the other ACA shows. And it is, again, just truly a godsend and blessing to be here. Jason's got a lot of words for me after the show, you guys. But seriously, we cannot possibly do this without all of you wonderful viewers. And if you are an essential worker, whether you believe or not, thank you so much. You have been working tirelessly every day for too long at this point. And I am truly, truly hoping that this time, 2023, this is no longer an issue and we are back to our lives again. And for everybody that is not an essential worker, we can help with that. There are simple, easy things that we can do. And trust me, the CDC has been telling us that information from the beginning. So let's get on that, guys. Let's get on that and get back to a place where the ACA can do more fun things like the Bat Cruise and live shows again. And we can just stop being so disparate and start hugging each other again. Consensually.
Yeah. No, that's key.
I'm just like so open to hugging. It's just, it's not the, we'll talk about it later. If you don't believe, this is your community. You know that there's a bunch of really cool people here hanging out every Sunday at 1 p.m. Central. But it's not just then, right? There are so many other shows that happen. Secular Sexuality is Thursdays at 7. Truth Wanted is Fridays at 7. There's always amazing, amazing things that you can do. And just some really, really great people that you can just chat with and connect with. And just know that you're not alone. And there are other people out there who kind of have some experience in some of those places and just give you a different viewpoint on it. You know, it's nice sometimes to just vent with other people who understand. But if you do believe, we don't hate you.
We're just not convinced.
Call us next week.
We want the truth, so watch Truth Wanted live Friday at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTTW and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callTW.